Welcome to Equestrian Movement's Best Do No Harm podcast. I'm your host, Katie Boniface, co-founder of Equestrian Movement with Sarah Gallagher. We work with horse riders who want to build a stronger bond and a deeper connection with their horses. In our first Do No Harm podcast, we discuss with other industry professionals how to work with horses to firstly do no harm and secondly support their mental, emotional and physical well-being throughout the training process, so that we have horses that enjoy learning and ask to be ridden. Each episode, we discuss the different influences our training can have and how we can improve our horses' overall athleticism, soundness of mind and body, and emotional fortitude, while strengthening and deepening our relationship with our horses. Each week, I will endeavour to bring to you a new episode on horse riding, training, handling and husbandry, or an interview with other industry professionals to help you address where and why you might get stuck in creating the beautiful union of dancing souls that is the equestrian sport. Are you ready to kick off today's show? Let's get started. Hey team, Katie here from Equestrian Movement, and today I wanted to talk a little bit more about acceptance of contact. We've been working a lot on acceptance of contact in the school and what it looks like and how we can do it in a way that is beneficial to the horse, both mentally, physically, and emotionally. So there's a few things that are kind of like on different tangents, but they pull together to create the overall effect that we're looking for. And obviously this can make things very complicated because we're like really digging deep into a lot of kind of tangent ideas, more so than like you just do this one thing and then everything is awesome and your horse is perfect and you're amazing. if only. So I'm going to share with you a few different things that we've been working on within the school so that hopefully you've got some tools that you can implement, but also there's some pretty cool theory that you could potentially implement and recognize when you're watching other people and where those gaps in training are. So first and foremost, one of the biggest problems that we have with horses is maintaining their soundness as athletes, and one of the biggest inhibiting factors that is creating that unsoundness is their ability to move within the constraints that contact creates. So if we look at some of our foundations of dressage, if we're looking at say like impulsion, where we're wanting, you know, the horse to move with expression and with enthusiasm and not being on the forehand and pulling themselves along, one of the really important things to recognize is that if there's tension in the horse's underneck, so that is also where their skeletal system is, so they do need to hold a little bit from there. But if there's tension there, then it restricts the ability of the shoulder to extend through. So when we're talking about having the horse off the forehand and we're talking about the throughness of the stride, forwardness, impulsion, expression of movement, engagement, those kinds of things, you can see a direct correlation between how much tension they have in their underneck and how on the forehand they are. So one of the reasons why this is going to put them on the forehand, one of the reasons why they're doing this in the first place, is if you can imagine having a piece of metal in your mouth and it gets pulled, you're not going to softly and sweetly just follow that piece of metal getting pulled in your mouth. The first thing you're going to do is you're going to grab the bit and pull the other way. And this exercise of getting the horse to follow contact like this is one of our foundational exercises in our holistic horse handling program. What we're looking for is, as we pick up contact in the horse's mouth, do they turn their head in the direction of the contact, or do they grab and turn their head in the opposite direction of that contact? Most horses, as soon as you pick up contact, they're going to grab the bit and pull in the opposite direction, because they don't want their head pulled and they don't want to be pulled off balance. So the question becomes, you know, why would your horse choose you to pull their mouth with a piece of metal? So You know, the answer is they wouldn't. But how can we make it a pleasant experience for them? How can we make it something that they're seeking? And so when we look at acceptance of contact, what we're looking for is how can we build trust and confidence in our hands? How can we build our horses' trust and confidence to seek our hands for direction? How can we encourage our horses to feel safe to relax into our hands? So firstly, we have to make sure that the application of our hands isn't aversive. And secondly, we have to make sure that our communication is clear and it doesn't pull them off balance. One of the places where a lot of people get stuck initially is feeling out of control on the horse, is feeling like you're not able to control the horse without pulling their mouth. And there's a fear instinct that, like, when you feel out of control on the horse, when you feel scared on the horse, you're bracing against them. You pull yourself forward and you pull into their mouth. And so what your body is then doing is it's telling the horse to go faster. And so while your body is telling them to go faster, you're pulling them on their mouths. And so you create this self-perpetuating cycle of you're being scared, which makes your horse scared. So they run faster, so you pull harder. And so then they're pulling through the contact. Our first exercise of transitioning our holistic horse handling principles from the ground to the saddle is being able to get our downward transitions just from our seat alone, so that as we start picking up speed, my students don't believe or feel like they need to pull the horse's mouth to get them to slow or to stop. They know how to use their seat, their breath, and their body to downregulate the horse's energy and communicate stop to them. And so that's one of the first exercises that we have in our holistic horse riding program, where we're showing you how to transfer this information of felt sense of safety, nervous system regulation, and relaxation from the ground into the saddle. So once we're not pulling and grabbing on the horse's mouth because we feel scared, because we feel out of control, and because we're trying to ask our horse to stop because we have other ways of communicating better, the next thing that we're looking at is getting the steering so that we're not pulling on the horse's mouth either. So part of that is that we're going to associate the rein aid with the leg aid to ask them to follow the rein away from the leg. And this is where I can see a lot of instructors kind of missing and creating some gaps in knowledge, is that especially with dressage, we're taught inside leg to create the bend and outside leg behind the girth to create the bend around the inside leg. But first, the horse needs to know what direction it's going before we communicate to them how to balance in that direction. And when we're just pulling on the horse's head to turn, then we're just pulling its head and its shoulders are going to go in the opposite direction. And especially, I have a video of this exercise within the holistic horse riding program, but it's something that you could probably imagine, is that when somebody is trying to be strong with the way that they're pulling the rein, they will like twist their body in the opposite direction to try and get the strength behind that rein to pull with that rein. And so then what happens is our body is telling our horse to go left and our hand is telling our horse to go right. Which one does our horse listen to? There's no clear communication there. So again, this is why our wiring as a rider is really important, and we have to coordinate our body before we apply a cue. You want to make sure that you look with your eyes, shoulders, and hips in the direction of travel before you apply your rein aid. The rein aid that you're applying needs to encourage trust and confidence to seek it, and then you're just using like a guiding rein to encourage the horse to follow it as you're cueing them to move away from your leg. So as we see some of the brace against our hands go out of the horse's body, we can see more relaxation in the neck, more relaxation in the shoulders, but inevitably our horse is still on the forehand because they do tend to seek the easiest route. And then also because we're sitting on their shoulders, they're not going to, you know, pick themselves up off the forehand particularly easily. And then also if we're doing rising trot, they inevitably will go on the forehand because of the way the rise shifts that weight distribution. So we need to be able to be comfortable with a little bit of sit trot, and we need to learn how to use our seat to call the horse into a half halt, which is again repeating that first exercise that we have of our ridden exercises in our holistic horse riding program of being able to cue to your horse to downward transition from a seat without contact, without your hands. So if we're good at doing a downward transition with our seat, then we can do a half halt with our seat, because it's just a calling of energy back, like you would call the energy back into a walk. So you're calling the energy to shift underneath you. Actually, Warwick Shillett had a really cool video that he shared where he had a horse on a wobble bridge and he was just shifting his balance forward and backwards, and it was enough to shift the wobble bridge forward and enough to shift the wobble bridge backwards, which gives us a really amazing visual and idea for how much just those even little subtle shifts in the saddle can significantly affect the horse's balance and where they're holding from. So if we're thinking about holding our balance in our core, you know, the way that I communicate it to my students is from your belly button, is that if you're imagining somebody on your back like that and they're like standing up, sitting down, and moving around quite a lot, then where you hold from changes so as to maintain your balance so that you don't fall over. So the way that we're moving around on the horse's back dramatically affects how well they can hold themselves and their balance, to the point of, you know, when I'm backing a horse for the first time, the first couple of trots that I do, I will make sure that I do it sitting, because it's difficult enough for them to experience a rider while they're trotting on their back for the first time, let alone that rider to be going into rising trot. It's a lot easier for them to balance a rider when they're in sit trot. And it's okay for it to be a little jog. It doesn't have to be the working paces. It's definitely one of the things that I allow my more beginner to intermediate riders to do, is that, you know, they're on the buckle of the reins and they can pick the horse up into a little jog without pushing the trot out. And then as the horse kind of loses that forward energy and momentum, they come back to walk together. So we're learning how to move within the horse's movement. We're taking, you know, that capacity to follow our horse and be in rhythm with our horse from our matching steps in the ground, on the ground, to into the saddle. And so this is where things start to get really cool. Hopefully you guys think that this is cool as well and I'm not just being a nerd. But I have seen some drastic changes in results in horses just from shifting from being stressed and tense and tight mentally into being able to relax just with their capacity for soundness. So one horse that I had in particular was very stressed and tense when she was working. Just getting the rider to practice releasing the reins and picking the contact up again and releasing the reins and picking up the contact, her paces got incrementally sounder and better just in doing that. She was tracking up better. She even started tracking up more evenly. Just allowing the horses to get into a state of mental relaxation to allow for that physical relaxation significantly improves the quality of movement. If we're triggering a flight response, or if the horse is mentally tense when it comes to responding to us in the saddle, then they're holding their breath. And so that's where we can see their back is hollow. Whereas when we encourage them to start breathing, we want to get some nice big blows happening, like we can get some nice big blows and breathing happening, then what we're going to start doing is activating the diaphragm. When the diaphragm activates, it shifts them out of a state of mental tension and into a state of mental relaxation. So just even allowing the diaphragm to work creates more physical soundness in the horse. And you can see like them working over their back a lot better. They're tracking up more evenly. The pelvis is sits more evenly at the base. We don't see as much of the roaching of the lower back. And so that's another thing, is when we're looking at that fear holding brace in the body, that fear mechanism rotates our pelvis forward. And so that creates that hollowness in the lower back. It does it for the horses as well. So if you can imagine that, you know, your horse is like holding tension and is anxious, and then we hear like our horse doesn't have enough engagement, we need more engagement, then we're going to use the whip to drive the hind quarters more through. The hindquarters can't track more through with the lower back locked in its fear response. And so then we're getting a false rotation of the pelvis, and that's in itself going to cause that roaching, that weakness in the base of the spine, because we're creating that pelvic tilt instead of the pelvic neutrality that we're looking for a nice sound spine. So another thing that I've been watching Mills Consilien talking about, the grazing postures and the way that the horse's, pole should kind of roll and neck should roll in the way that their nose changes in the direction of their leg. Go and have a look at Mills Consilien. I'll put the link in the show notes. It's been pretty good to play with. You can really see where the horses, you know, when they have that really big bulge behind their ears there, that's definitely where they've like locked up in their neck from hands that have been too hard in their mouth to try and force them into a frame. It's another training that I've been doing from Aileen from Neuroaffective Touch, and this one's a human-based one around the concepts of somatic therapy. And she talks about that first vertebrae at the base of the skull there, being able to access and keep it open is directly associated with the social engagement system. So how much of this information we can translate across to the horses, I don't quite know that we have identified exactly how their social engagement system works yet, but definitely in the implementation of these exercises, it has had the results that I anticipated with regards to softening of the pole. And then if we look at Celeste's work with her nerve impingements in the thoracic sling, if the social engagement system is offline, it can trap in the thoracic outlet, and so then the nervous system isn't innervating up through the rest of the body, through the neck and into the facial expressions. So what we're trying to do is trying to bring that whole social engagement system online. What that means is that the horse is engaged and willing to participate in their work. What that means is that they have a felt sense of safety. They seek us for direction and communication. They have trust and confidence in us. If you have a horse that has a felt sense of safety, trust and confidence in our hands, and seeks our hands for direction, then we're going to have the social engagement system online. And so innately they're in the mindset and the mentality that allows the pole to stay open and loose versus one that closes because the social engagement system is offline. But if you can then also imagine hands that the horse doesn't have trust and confidence in, that doesn't feel safe in the application of, and that doesn't seek it for direction, then the neck is going to brace and tense, and the jaw braces and tenses against the contact as well. So we're looking at a twofold effect there of how the horse is experiencing being ridden and being in relationship to us, and also how we're applying our hands to their mouth so that it doesn't put them off balance, and so it's capable of guiding them with balance through movements. And then the really, really cool thing is, you know, a lot of the problems that we see with our horses is that tension in the base of the spine, which we can resolve a lot of that just by purely taking them out of that flight response. But then I also know that there is some research around like the link between the hyoid and the lower back. Love your guys' feedback if you've been down the rabbit hole on that one. But when we're looking at it from the lens of somatic therapy, is that the opening of the social engagement system and the opening of the base of the skull there also allows for the tension in the base of the spine to release as well. the sewers have capacity to switch off because they come on when we're scared. And so they can switch off when we feel safe. And so then when we follow these lines of somatic therapy, a felt sense of safety, you know, that internal experience of your world, we can see that, you know, where we look for these standards of dressage, of the first thing we're looking for is rhythm, the second thing we're looking for is relaxation, the third thing is contact, impulsion, straightness, and collection, what we're looking at is the horse's experience of us in their work is, you know, can we fall into a natural rhythm with our horse and they can maintain balance within that rhythm? Mental relaxation develops the physical relaxation, a felt sense of safety to have trust and confidence to seek contact develops an acceptance of contact. I expect my students to be able to ride with and without contact, not necessarily need it to communicate to their horses, don't feel like they need it to control their horses, but can pick it up and work off of, you know, like little jaw releases off of the bit pressure to keep the softness through the pole, the neck and the top line. And then that's where we're going to see the relaxation and swing through the contact, which is what's going to create the impulsion, development of the strength and conditioning of the shoulders, the quality of the impulsion. And then basically our horses are just straight because they're not crooked trying to avoid the way that we're applying ourselves to them, or because their nervous system is activated into a flight response and is bracing and guarding against us, because we can feel if they're holding brace in their body and tension against us, and we can feel when they're relaxing into us and we're able to move together. So I am really excited to be able to offer, you know, this as an experience to my students. And we have been able to capture a lot of it on video and add it to our holistic horse handling program. And it's something that I'm really looking forward to continuing to flesh out, because I really, you know, as we get more information into these different modalities and we can bring together like a blend of neuroscience, behaviorism, felt senses, and biology, you know, even though it can feel like a lot of information, it really is, it's just consolidating what we already know and what has been in our hearts that we've been told is wrong. If we want horses as athletes, if we want mentally, physically, and emotionally sound athletes for our horses, and even if we're not, you know, fully committed to having them as an athlete and we've just got them as our companion, we still want them mentally, physically, and emotionally sound. These connection-based training principles that, you know, we've been told are wrong and creates dangerous horses all our lives, like, is really starting to come into our own when you look at how it all comes together. It's like, we aren't wrong with how we want to work with our horses. It's just teasing apart, you know, what's working and what's not working, and having the confidence to pursue it, because it's all there in principles. And it's just, you know, bringing all of the different modalities and the principles together. A lot of the, you know, online trainers in particular, a lot of the coaches and instructors you see, you know, you'll, it's kind of like going to the doctor. It's like you see a specialist and you see a specialist for one area and they don't talk to a specialist in another area who doesn't talk to a specialist in another area who doesn't talk to a specialist in another area. And if they all kind of got together and said, this is my specialty, and then figured out how to incorporate each other's specialties in a way that we can integrate the information and see the body as a whole, this is the picture that we're looking at. None of these things are happening in isolation. The horse's felt senses in their nervous system is not happening in isolation to what their muscles are doing, is not happening to in isolation to what their neurotransmitters and their hormones are doing, is not happening in isolation to how they relate to us and to their environment. all of these things play a role and come together, and we're really looking at optimizing that when we're looking at our horse's mental, physical, and emotional soundness, but then also creating that equine athlete that enjoys learning us to be ridden and wants to look after us. If you want to check out more about our connection-based philosophy and theories, we do have a free masterclass that you can go and watch. I'll put the links to that in the show note. I'll link to Mills Consilient. I love watching what she's doing and how she explains things and her work. If you've had an aha moment or you've picked something up, I love it when you share it with me, because it helps me figure out what kind of information you guys like listening to. Make sure you message me or DM me on Instagram. And until next time, happy trails. If you're loving what you're listening to on the podcast, you might be starting to recognize that trying to control your horse through submission-based training is the worst way to ask your horse to look after you. If you're working with or riding horses, you know how unpredictable and sometimes scary they can be. Unfortunately, most struggling horse riders make the mistake of thinking they can physically control their 400 plus kilo fur babies by moving their feet or spooking them into responding with flags and join up. Without giving your horse a reason to care about you and look after you, you will most likely end up with a horse that is disconnected at best, shut down or explosive at worst, because they can't communicate their needs with you, especially if you are already scared, worried, or nervous handling your horse. That's why we've created our new free online training experience, Building a Connection with Your Horse. This is how I've gone about creating safe horses for beginners, no matter the breed or previous handling experiences. If you want to learn the secret sauce behind developing safe horses that care about you and look after you without trauma-triggering training methods, register for our new training today at www.equestrianmovement.com/connection. And I will uncover the three big mistakes you might be making if you're trying to build a relationship with your horse, and how you can start building your horse's trust and confidence in you as a leader worth following.